You would please turn to Numbers chapter 30. Numbers chapter 30. You know, one of the things that we've got to deal with is God put together the home, hadn't he? I mean, the first institution that the Lord instituted was the home. And when we go to interpret the Word of God, one of the things that we have is the principle of first mention. When you have the principle of first mention in the Word of God, it means you go back, you look at that where God first mentioned that, then you start going through the rest of the Word of God to see if God changed that. And we understand there's some things that were changed, like the eating laws, for instance, things like that. God wanted to kill off the Gentiles, so he told them to eat meat, all right? And so we started eating hamburgers and steaks and pork chops and all that kind of stuff. So we're doing good. He's keeping right on schedule, isn't that right? And so we find then that some of the things change, but there's God's moral law, though, has never changed. Not one inch. God put the home together. Now, that hasn't changed, but society has tried real hard to change it. And we're here preaching a revival, and I want you to know, you'll never have revival in a church till the home gets right. Because the homes are what makes up the church, right? I mean, the individuals at the home, they come here. If the home's all messed up, the church is going to be all messed up. So let's march through Numbers chapter 30, okay? Now, for those of you taking notes, you get your Bible. You follow me. Just follow me, all right? You'll be able to go back and read this. And let's learn something today. Let's put it together. Let's let this challenge us. I'm just going to read the first verse. We'll go to the Lord in prayer and come back and begin dealing with this, okay? It said, "And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord hath suggested." Now, if your Bible reads like that, throw it away. Amen. There's something wrong there somewhere. There's a misprint. That's what it is, a misprint. That's like the NIV, right? Non-inspired version. Amen. Okay. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and get into this, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, just for this past week, thank you for allowing me to preach the Word of God to these folks. And Lord, I thank you that I've had the freedom to preach. And now, Lord, I just ask that you'd take these messages and Lord, just as they've been sowed and watered, we pray, God, that you would use them in everybody's life to bring forth increase. And now, Lord, use this. May my thoughts be clear. May my words be clear also. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Basically, what I'm going to do with Numbers chapter 30 here is I'm just going to walk you through it. All right? No great big explanation of stuff. It doesn't need it. So why do it, right? Pretty clear. So let's go on. All right, we have husbands, we got wives, we got widows, we got divorced people. So now we got to deal with that whole family issue, don't we? So let's do that. And here's what I want you to do up front. I want you to go to verse 2. Let's talk about the man here real quick. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Now, I want to tell you all something. Over the years, I've seen a lot of people make a lot of promises to God and forget that they made the promises to God. But I want to tell you something. God didn't forget that you made that promise to God.
Amen.
Now, there's a consequence for that. I want you to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Let's read verse 4, 5, and 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4, 5, and 6. And we'll get this out of the way and get this set in stone real quick. And then we'll go on. I'll share something with you. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4, 5, and 6. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. I think we dealt with that this morning, didn't we? Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? I know a man. This man, he called me on the phone. He made all kinds of promises to God. I told him, I said, listen, if you hear what you've said, I hear what you've done. I said, you got to understand, if you do not keep these vows to God that you swore to, I said, I want you to know something. He'll destroy the work of your hands. That was 28 years ago. That man walked out. God gave him what he wanted. He walked out. He hadn't made an attempt, one, to keep any of the vows he made to God. And I want to tell you something. That guy cannot even drive a 20-penny nail straight. I mean, if he leans over to tie his shoes, he falls over on his head. Nothing works for him. About a year ago, he called me and he was crying and carrying on. He said, nothing works for me. Nothing. I said, get your Bible. I said, when was the last time you went to church? About 8-9 years ago. I said, get your Bible. Let me read this to you. I said, do you remember this? I said, I told you 27 years ago when you made all those commitments. And I said, I've watched you. I've written your name in my journal. I've tracked you for 27 years to see what was going to happen to you. And I said, man, I said, every car you get, you wreck. Every house you buy, it burns. Every job you get, you lose it. I said, you can't even hold a cup of coffee without spilling it on you. And then you call me, well, what's the matter with me? I said, I'll tell you what's the matter with you. You made all kinds of commitments to God, then thought you could walk away from it.
Amen. That's right.
Didn't work. Now let me tell you something. You might have forgotten the vows that you made to God, but God hadn't forgotten them. God hadn't forgotten them. That's the word of God, isn't it? All right, go back to Numbers chapter 30. So here's the man. Now, there's no way out for the man, is there? Look at the word of God. Let's read it again. I want to show you something now, men. I want to show you this. It says, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeded out of his mouth. No way out. None whatsoever. All right. Go to verse 9. Let's look at the widows and the divorced person. The widows and the divorced. Go to verse 9. Now I want you to notice this. You see, this woman, these women here, this widow and divorced, they have no authority over them. Because of that having no authority over them, watch what happens. Verse 9. But every vow of a widow and of her that is divorced, wherewith they have bound their soul, shall stand against her. Why? Because there's no authority over them. So the man, since there's no authority over him, he makes the vow, he makes the oath. God says, boom, you got it. Nobody can negate that. All right, the widow or the divorced woman, there's nobody over them. They make the vow, they make the oath. God says, you got it. You got it. I'm holding you responsible for what you said. Okay? Wow. That's pretty powerful stuff up front, isn't it? Well, now let's back up and get the rest of it. So, pretty clear, isn't it? The man, the widow, the divorced woman. Because there's no authority over them, when they make a vow, they're stuck with it. Nobody can negate it. It's theirs. They better fulfill it. Well, now let's get into a family situation. Let's get into a home where there's a husband and a father in the home. And let's begin to journey through this now and look at this and let's see what happens here. Go to verse 3. And verse 3 to 5, we're going to see, look at some youth in the home. If a woman also vow a vow unto her lord and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth. Now, folks, stop just for a second. Let me tell you something. I have heard some of the most insane things I've ever heard in my life. I can begin to give you illustration after illustration here. I can take you to some homes. This one lady said, I'm having trouble with my daughter. Her daughter that quick spoke up and says, she said, yeah, mom thinks she can walk into my room anytime she wants to. Well, she said, what do you think about that? I said, well, if that's your attitude, young lady, I think your mother ought to go home and tear the door off the hinges.
Yeah, amen.
I said, she's paying for that house. She's paying for that room. She's paying for your food. She bought the bed you're sleeping in, and she's responsible for you? And you want to say, don't come into my room? I said, honey, I want to tell you something. The Word of God's got a different opinion about that. She said, you sided with mom. I said, no, I just want you to know your mom and I are siding with God on this issue. How's that?
Amen.
I said, it's not her, it's not me. It's God's opinion of this thing. Now look at this. So now let's see what happens. So now this young girl is going to make this vow. Let's see what happens. Go to verse 4 now. And her father hear her vow, and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand. And every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. Now, I'm going to get to this at the end of this message, but I want you to understand something. It said that if her father hold his peace about that, then everything she's vowed is going to stand. So daddy better be real careful what he keeps his mouth shut about.
Amen.
Real careful. Because if God's going to give him the responsibility of that, then God's going to hold him accountable for that. Go to verse 5. But if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth, not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. Wow. God has put some authority structure in the home, and God's not going to overrule that authority structure. God said, I'll hold him accountable and responsible for this. But boy, look what God said. I had one situation, and the young girl said, come to me, and she said, oh, I've made all these commitments to God, and he don't want me to keep them. Talking about her dad. I said, well, that's his right. He's got the right to do that. He's responsible for you in your situation presently. She said, but I've made all these things to God. I said, if he keeps his mouth shut, you've had it. If he opens up, you're free of it. I said, now look at this. God has established an authority, and God doesn't even overrule it. Because what's the use of having an authority structure and then not using it? What's the use of having an authority structure and then not holding the people you put in authority responsible?
Amen.
That'd be insane. In the military, they don't do that. If they give you the authority over something, they hold you responsible for it. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Why, listen, God doesn't even do that. If God built the home structure and God said, you're responsible, sir, for your home. You're responsible for the children in the home. What they commit themselves to, you can either allow it or disallow it. And God said, I'll forgive you because your daddy said don't. How you like that? Oh, that'll cook in any pot you got.
Amen.
Well, so, you see, that young lady, whatever she said didn't work. But daddy said, mm-mm, you ain't doing that. Not in this house. Well, let's move on. Now, Now, I just said that, and I can see some of you ladies smiling, saying, yeah, boy, get them kids. Uh-huh. Now, let's talk about Mrs. Bottle Stopper. All right? And now listen, I've been in this business long enough, I know. Man, I've tried pastoring some ladies that their husbands drove the car to church and she rode a broom. And, Lord have mercy. Boy, go to verse 6, 7, 8. Let's see what happens here. And if she had it all and husband, All right, stop right. I got to tell y'all something kind of funny just to help you out here. I was back right in a church right above Washington, D.C., preaching that. And I got to this thing about the wife and this lady. I saw her. She's sitting right about there. She opened up a purse real quick. She pulled out a couple $100 bills. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I'll give you $200 to skip this next point. I'll give you $200. Skip this next point. So anyway, I told her I couldn't do it. And I didn't get the $200, by the way. Just want you to know that. All right, verse 6. And if she had an oiled husband, when she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband heard it, and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vows shall stand, and her bonds wherewithal she bound her soul shall stand. Verse 8. But if her husband disallowed her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips wherewith she bound her soul, of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her. Wow. I reckon I was invited back to Oklahoma to speak, and the guy wanted me to just speak the whole week on about the family. I asked the fellow, I said, now, are you sure you want me to do this? And he said, yeah, I want you to do this. I said, well, now, you got to understand something. I said, most of the time it's easier for them to move their letter than it is for you to move your furniture. I said, but now, if we do this all week long, and he had a couple other guys speaking on home, I said, I want you to know something. I said, have you rented your U-Haul yet? And anyway, we went back there and got to dealing with the family. Myself and two other preachers was preaching. And by the end of the week, I looked over there and his wife, she had some U-Haul boxes, buddy. She was packing up, you know. And it got rough around there. Why? Because that church was owned and operated and run by grandma, daughter, granddaughter, great-granddaughter, and friends, all of them female. They made the phone calls. They were the missionary society. They done it all. They told the pastor when to preach, how long to preach, stuff like that. And this boy took that church, and we come preached our messages. And boy, we ended that thing on Friday night. They voted him out on Sunday. He said, they voted me out. And I said, I told you so. All right. Let's deal with this a little bit, all right? Please, I want you to notice something. Look down at the last part of verse 8. All right, just the last part of verse 8. It said, wherewith she bound her soul of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her. So, now watch this, folks. Do you realize God established a family order? And we live in a society today where they say, well, you know, it needs to be 50-50. If you're saved, I hate to tell you this, that might be all right for somebody lost, dying, and going to hell. But for saved people, that don't work. Amen. Because God's not going to hold you 50-50. God's going to grab a hold of him and hold him 100-100.
Right.
In this sense. You see that?
Amen.
And so we've got to deal with this issue, because now you've got this child in the home, and boy, this child does this, and I had a woman come to me, same situation. That young lady come to me and she said, I've made a bunch of commitments to God and he don't want me to keep these commitments. And I didn't ask what they were. But he looked at me and he said, if she keeps all the commitments, he said, we might as well get a divorce and let her go. He said, because she wants to do everything but preach. And I looked at her and I thought to myself, she's doing a pretty good job of that too, you know. And now listen, though, but the fact of it is, I asked her, I said, young lady, are you willing? It looks like you want to serve God. I said, are you willing to be obedient to the word of God? And she said, yes, that's what I want to be. I said, okay, sit down. And we went through this chapter. In time we got through this chapter, she just said to me, well, I didn't know that was there. She looked at her husband and said, what am I going to do? He said, it's 8 o'clock at night. I'm hungry. Let's go eat. That's what they did. She was willing to accept the word of God. And she did. That ended it. By the way, they took me out to eat too. And, but the fact is this. On one side, we have some people that's not willing to accept the word of God. On the other side, we are. And that young lady looked at that. She said, well, that settled that. Boom, let's go eat. Done. Guess what that brought about? Peace in the home. Guess what it brought about? Unity in the home. Guess what that brought about? Respect in the home. Guess what that brought about? It brought about a young couple, all of a sudden now, where the both of them wound up going in the same direction to serve God. And ladies and gentlemen, those two became a superb example to a bunch of people and a tremendous help in the church. Because, boy, now rather than one of them trying to go this way, one going that way, they both got together, went in the same direction. They turned out to be a force, I'm telling you. And all because she just simply, that quick, she said, that's fine. If that's what the Word of God says, I'm doing it. That's it. I mean, you talk about a blessing. My soul, I thought to myself, can I find 5 or 6 more like this? You know, that ruined me. That ruined any good preacher. That ruined any preacher. That'd mess you up. Totally. So we got the young person. We got the wife. All right, we got in verse 9, we've dealt with the widows and the divorce, right? But now, let me show you something here. Boy, when I got into this, now this is amazing. Let's say this woman makes a vow. Her husband says nothing about it. And then he drops dead. What is she supposed to do? Let's start at verse 9 again. Let me package this up for you. But if every vow of a woman and of her that is divorced, wherewith they have bound their soul, shall stand against her. Verse 10. And if she vowed in her husband's house or bound her soul by a bond with an oath, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her and disallowed her not, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. We just read that, didn't we? Now look what he's doing. Go to verse 12. But if her husband hath utterly made them void. Wow. On the day that he heard them, then whatsoever proceedeth out of her lips concerning her vows or concerning her bond of her soul shall not stand. Her husband hath made them void, and the Lord shall forgive her. In other words, he's saying, get this now. If that divorced woman, if that widow woman had made these vows and before the husband died or divorced her, said no, his authority still hangs in the house even though he's gone. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to make it clear to you that God has established a home and an order in the home, And God has not changed it.
Amen.
God has not changed it. The woman in the home is supposed to be loved like Christ loved the church, not like a tyrant. The man in the home is supposed to respect the wife as the weaker vessel and to love his wife. It's not like a tyrant situation here. There's supposed to be some love happening and respect here. All right. Now watch this. Here's what I want to do. I mentioned responsibility and accountability to you a few minutes ago. So let's deal with this, okay? Let's talk about it. In verse 13, let's talk about responsibility, okay? Now I'm going to tell y'all something. When I was studying this, the first time I ever saw this, I thought to myself, this is scaring me to death. Oh my goodness. I mean, my daughter was still in the house, and I was looking at her as a young teenager. I knew I was going to have grandkids, and so on and so forth. And man, I got to look at this. This scared me. I mean, because the reality of it is here. God hadn't changed it. All right, verse 13, responsibility. Look at this. Every vow and every binding oath to afflict the soul, her husband may establish it or her husband may make it void. Now listen to me, men. Do you realize what God's saying right there? God's saying, I'm giving you this authority to do this. And God is saying, I'm giving you the responsibility to discern what you allow and what you disallow in your home. This is a passage of responsibility. God is stating a fact, not a proposal.
Amen.
And it's a fact that he's saying here. And so if that be the fact, then he's going to hold us responsible to that. It's interesting, you know, I've worked with a lot of German Russians, and their homes are totally different than ours. Their home is totally centered around the Word of God, the church, everything, and many of their young people don't get married until they're 26 to 30 years old, and the way they do that. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you this: the divorce rate amongst the Christians behind the Iron Curtain is zero. Do you hear me? Zero. In other words, non-existent. So evidently, they must be doing something right.
Amen.
Zero. Let me tell you what they do. Those young people back there, when a young boy gets his eye on a young girl, he goes to the preacher. He says, "Preacher, I've got my eye on that girl over there." The preacher goes and talks to the girl's parents. "Do you mind if him and her begin to have a courtship?" If the parents say no, it's over with. If his parents say no, it's over with. If they agree to it, they start a courtship. And I asked one of them one time, I said, "What's the purpose of this 2 to 3, maybe even 4-year courtship? What's the purpose of that?" That quick. It wasn't the parents that spoke up. It was the girl that spoke up. She said, "Well, I want to see if this guy's consistent in his service toward God." She said, "You're not going to learn that in 6 months." She said, "You're not going to learn that." She said, I want to see if this guy's going to be true to the Lord." And I started asking around, and all their courtships last like that. I went and asked the boy privately. I said, "What's the purpose of this courtship?" He said, "Man," he said, I want to make sure that girl's going to be true to God." He said, "I want to make sure this isn't just a short-term thing she's doing here." He said, "I might go to prison, and if I'm in prison for preaching the Word of God, I want somebody at home teaching my children the Word of God." He said, "I want my boys to grow up preaching like the daddy." He said, I got to have somebody at home who's strong in the Lord." That boy got excited. I was thinking, "Lord, I'm going to get excited too. I like it too. Go ahead. Talk to me." My daughter dated that little scoundrel that married her. I mean, I told him, I said, listen here, if you're going to marry my daughter, you better learn to cook, because if she gets sick and I come to your house, I want to eat good. And I told him, he come to my house. I said, let me show you something. He said, what? I said, I'm going to show you something. And he said, it works real good. He said, what's that? I said, my lawnmower. Get out of here. Start mowing my grass. And I've trained that boy. Boy, my daughter's trained him too. I mean, he's well trained. He can use vacuum cleaner, dishwasher, washing machine, dryer, all that stuff. I mean, he's sharp, boy. He can get it. He come over to the house one day. He said, Papa Law, what can I do for you? Then he went, nope. I take that back. I said, nope, too late. You've already said it. Grab that weed eater out there and go to work. But anyway, he's a great guy. My daughter dated him for 4 years. Now listen to me. One of the keys about those two is this. They made agreements up front. When they started becoming somewhat close in the Lord, she looked at him and she said, now, I got a news flash for you. You're keeping your hands to yourself and I'm keeping mine to myself. And I taught my daughter a long time ago, I said, now listen. I said, you need to have a list. I mean, if you went to leave here to go to New York City, you'd buy a map, wouldn't you? Right? You get a map? I said, now, why do you want to make a decision about one of the most important things in your life and you not have a list knowing even where you're going? So for years, I've taught in a lot of churches all over America for the girls and boys to make a list of these 10 things on a page of paper, for the girls to look at it, pray over it, and make a copy of it and give it to mom. For the boys to look at it, make a copy of it, give it to dad. And by the time they get eat up with the dum-dums, mama needs to get that piece of paper back out and come back to them and say, oh, you wrote this. Remember that? Or daddy needs to look at his son and say, son, I still got it. See? I got it. Well, now listen. By the time my daughter and James got married, my daughter understood James was going to serve the Lord, life or death. James understood some things about Amy. She was going to serve the Lord, period. Life or death, prison, not prison, Obama or not, period. And I just, out of curiosity, after they were married, I said, James, what's the most comforting thing to you now about being married? And I was just fishing for some type of answer. And the answer I got, I'll just tell you, I cried my eyes out. I just grabbed that boy and cried. He's a little tiny fella. So when you get a fella like me leaning on him, you know, he was hollering, Pablo, you're breaking my legs, you know. And he just looked at me and just as quick as anything, he said to me, he said, Papa Law, the thing that comforts me about my marriage is I know that woman's going to serve God, period, whether I'm alive or dead. He said, we have kids in this home. When I drop dead right now, I know they're going to be raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. Boy. Still, that's my heartbeat. Listen, that still tears me up when I think about it. Amen. I mean, you talk about a blessing. I mean, I'm looking at these two sitting right here. Now, what a blessing. I mean, he's going to inherit some great in-laws, and she's going to inherit some great in-laws over here. And look where they're at. They're sitting in the house of God, and so's their parents. Amen. Now, if that don't bless you, your blesser's broke. Isn't that right? So you see, now go to verse 13. Let me get back on this now. I'm going to show you something. Every vow and every binding oath to afflict the soul, her husband may establish it or her husband may make it void. So I'm going to tell you something. You're fixing to take on a huge responsibility. Very, very big. Men sitting in this place, I'm going to tell you something. Big responsibility. You better pick it up if you haven't. Go to verse 15. Let's talk about accountability. Now, we've missed verse 14 for a reason. I'll pick it up in a second. Watch this now. Verse 13, we find this responsibility. Verse 15, we're going to see accountability. All right? Now watch this. We're going to see kind of a both here. Verse 15, but if he shall in any wise make them void after that he hath heard them, then he shall bear her iniquity. You see that? Accountability. But if he shall in any wise make them void after that he hath heard them, then he shall bear her iniquity. What in the world does that mean? That means he's going to be accountable for what he allows and for what he disallows. All right, I'm going to pick on the preacher. He's got children in his home, and God is going to hold him responsible and accountable for what he allows and disallows in his home as it influences those kids and the vows and the things those kids do. It's right in the Word of God, isn't it? Yeah. God's not going to hold her accountable unless he's dead. And then it's on her. Then she better tough up, honey. You know that? But as long as he's in that house, God's not going to ring anybody else's bell but his. Right. Amen. You know that? Now listen to me. Let's go back now. Let's read verse 13, 14, and 15 together. I'll read one more verse and we're done. Verse 13, every vow and every binding oath to afflict the soul, her husband may establish it or her husband may make it void. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Woo! Hubby, you better listen up to what's said in your house. God's throwed the responsibility on you. And I want you to notice something now that's just amazing to me. God does not overrule the husband in the house, does he? God does not overrule the husband in the house. He holds the husband accountable, responsible. Verse 14 now. But if her husband altogether hold his peace at her from day to day, then he established all her ways. Now listen, I started off Monday saying something to you, and I want to say it again real quick, and then we're done. I said to you Monday, and I've said it a couple times during the week on purpose, because I knew this was coming. What you tolerate is what you get. What you tolerate is what you get. I told my daughter, I said, now listen, there's some things that I will not tolerate. Zero, none, zero tolerance, period. She said, what's that? I said, if I catch you back talking, your mama, the woman I love, the woman that brought you into this life, if I catch you back talking to her, me and you is going to have a serious discussion. I said, so don't do that. But now if you all knew my wife just looked at her and said, yeah, don't do that. And my daughter said, Dad, I'm a lot more afraid of what she said than what you said. So, Mama ain't putting up with that, not a lick. There's some things we put into the house that we're just not going to tolerate. And now listen, folks, you've got to do that. There's got to be boundaries set. I mean, there's things we can all tolerate, things we can't. We're all different. So some things we can tolerate, some what you might tolerate, things I can't tolerate. I'll just share one with you. Can I do that? All right. Now, I don't mean to. Now, listen to me real close. All week long, you people have been sitting here, many of you chewing gum during church service. Even the kids. I hate preaching to a bunch of cows. One of the things, it caused me to get my socks in a wad. It's irritated me all week long. I went and eat Tums because you're chewing bubble gum. I went and bought me some bubble gum. But now listen, I realized other people, that just doesn't bother them. But it doesn't bother them at all. Doesn't bother them at all. But that's just one of my little things. I just, you know. I mean, how would y'all like stand up here and look at 10, 15 people sitting there going? And then you watch some of the kids go. You know? So, but the fact of it is, you know, it might not bother you, but that's just one of those things. You see, we're all different, aren't we? We're all different. So I can handle that. I can handle that. Because that's what you do, but that's not what I do. We can handle that. But I want you to see something here. Please, look at this, verse 14. But if her husband altogether hold his peace at her from day to day, then he establish all her ways or all her bonds, which are upon her. He confirmeth them because he held his peace at her in the day that he heard them. Wow. Verse 15, but if he shall in any wise make them void after that he hath heard them, then he shall bear her iniquity. Boy, you know what that means? That means, can I use you again? I'll just use him. Let's say he hears his daughter make a commitment that's totally wrong, totally out of the way, totally out of her responsibility even. And he doesn't say nothing, and that whole thing goes sour on that girl. God's going to come right back at him and say, partner, you heard that. You knew what was going to happen. I'm holding you responsible for that action. Now listen, if that doesn't scare a parent to death, realize that you're going to stand before God with that. Verse 16. These are the statutes which the Lord suggested Moses between a man and his wife, between his father and his daughter, being yet in her youth in her father's house. That's not what it says, is it? It says, these are the statutes which the Lord commanded. Is that pretty clear to y'all? Like I said, I'm just going to march through it, share it with you. Take it, read it. If you want your home put together right, I'm going to share this one last illustration with you. I'll turn it over to the pastor. A friend of mine down the road, Rising Queens, back in one of them Hollis pastors, a little church. It's hidden back there somewhere. He called me one night and he said, can I come over and talk to you? It was midnight. I go to bed at midnight. I told him, I said, I'll make some coffee. Come on over. Well, he didn't show up alone. He showed up with his daughter and son-in-law. He said, we've got a problem. Anyway, we talked, and they had a terrible issue. Rebellion issue. But you know what happened? We sat down, we went through this chapter, dealt with it. Before it was said and done, the boy apologized to his father-in-law and the Lord, and she apologized to her dad and the Lord. But in weeping tears, she turned around and grabbed her husband. And she grabbed him and she hugged him and she said, I want a Christian home. Amen. And he looked at her and said, honey, if you'll help me, that's what we'll have. And his helpmate has helped him. And let me tell all of you something. They have a wonderful Christian home. I've presented the information to you. Now the rest is up to you. For those of you that are sitting here as widows and divorced, you're responsible for your home. You're responsible for your home. You're responsible for what you allow and disallow, ladies, in your home. So you better get really close to God. Because you've got not only are you holding your responsibility, you're now holding the man's responsibility in your home. And it's tough. It's really tough. Really tough. I've given you the information. The rest is between you and God. Let's all stand as the pastor comes.